Welcome, ladies, to our Naomi's Table Bible Study. I'm Amy Spreeman. Today, we are in the book of 1 Corinthians with teacher Beth Seifert. Make sure you go to naomistable.com and download the study guide to help you dig deeper. You can do these lessons on your own, with your women's church group, or gather some friends and learn together. These are some great discipleship tools. Well, let's open up our Bibles and begin today's lesson.
Welcome back to our study in the book of 1 Corinthians, ladies. Today we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. I've titled this lesson Day 16, Inconsiderate Freedom. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Now, concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence, and that there is no God but one. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. However, not all possess this knowledge, but some, through former association with idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will he not be encouraged, if his conscience is weak, to eat food offered to idols? And so by your knowledge this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. Thus, sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. So, a little bit of a recap. Paul has now addressed several things with these believers in Corinth. He's addressed his own authority as an apostle of Christ and as their father in the faith. They should respect his authority and they should listen to him. He's addressed the divisions they have created out of preference and pride and corrected their wrong-headed thinking on their own worth. He's addressed the sexual immorality that is occurring in the church and their misunderstanding of his directions concerning how to handle sexual immorality, both in the world and in the church. And he has also addressed the pride of these people that is at the root of all these problems. Now, Paul circles back around. Paul reminds them of their pride again and what a problem it is. He's about to show them further ramifications of their sinful pride and another specific issue that can, again, be traced back to their pride. Paul draws the distinction here between knowledge and what it does, and love and what it does. Knowledge puffs up. Love builds up. This will be important in the specific issue that Paul is addressing. Paul says clearly that when you think you know something, and when that's your focus, you need to be careful not to take that knowledge too far. Think of it this way. Earning a bachelor's degree in pre-med gives you enough knowledge to be dangerous, but not enough knowledge to really be helpful. You know how the body works, you understand the biological functions, but that doesn't mean you can diagnose illnesses or prescribe treatments. Your knowledge is incomplete, and if you go running off applying the knowledge you have as if you understood everything about the body and medicine perfectly, you're going to hurt people. But look at the knowing that really matters here. The knowing that matters is being known by God, which will be demonstrated in your love for God and your concern for the things that God is concerned about. There is an intimacy in being known by God, and that intimacy should produce humility in these people, but sadly, they saw that as yet one more reason to boast. So what is this issue that Paul is going to address? Idols and the food offered to them. Now, why were they offering food to idols? Food was believed by the Greeks and Romans to have demons in it that could attach themselves to the human who ate it. The only solution, according to them, was to sacrifice the food to a god to gain favor with the god and cleanse the meat of its contamination. Such decontaminated meat was offered to the gods as a sacrifice. What wasn't burned on the altar was served at wicked pagan feasts. What was left after that was sold in the market. After their conversion to Christ, many believers weren't comfortable eating such food brought out of idol markets because it reminded sensitive Gentile believers of their previous pagan lives and demonic worship. The idols? They aren't real. Paul knows it. He knows many of these believers know it. There are lots of so-called gods, but there is only one God, the Father, and it is from Him that we receive all things, and we exist for Him. There is only one true Lord, Jesus, through whom are all things, and through whom we exist. Let me say that again. We exist because of Him and for Him. We have everything in Him. Notice this, ladies, because it's important. It's all about Him. It's not about you or me. So then we see Paul focusing on the knowledge problem. Not everyone knows, remember knowledge puffing up, these truths about idols, nor do they know the truth that we all exist for God alone. Again, our purpose is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. It's about Him. Because of the understanding of these believers pre-Christ and because of their former ways of pagan living, they see this food that has been offered to an idol as just that, sacred food offered to an idol. Because their consciences are pricked, and Paul says their consciences are defiled, this is sin for them. It is. They cannot yet separate the idol from the food. They need the help of mature believers to help them learn and grow, but they need to be convinced in their own minds, not just going along with whatever other believers are doing because they're doing it. The food, though, isn't really the problem. The problem is that those for whom this is not a sin are, in their pride, running right over those weaker brothers and sisters for whom this is a sin. They want to exalt their liberty. Their rights and freedoms were more important to them than their brothers and sisters in Christ. They didn't care about the growth of anyone but themselves. They knew a lot, but the result was their knowledge was actually causing them to sin against their brothers. They had enough knowledge to be dangerous, but not helpful. Their endorsement of eating food sacrificed to idols and their participation of eating food sacrificed to idols was leading these weaker brothers and sisters to sin against their consciences by participating in this eating as well. Here's how the Holman Christian Study Bible translates verse 10. For if someone sees you, the one who has this knowledge, dining in an idol's temple, won't his weak conscience be encouraged to eat food offered to idols? They were participating not because they were convinced it was just food, but because they were following the example of other believers. This is a problem all the way around. The weaker brothers and sisters were not able to remove the association of the food from the practice of actually worshiping the false gods. To their lack of knowledge, any participation was the same. Because of this, they think they are doing something wrong in eating this food in any manner, and as they participate, they're falling back into their idolatrous ways. Paul takes this lack of consideration for the weaker brothers and sisters very seriously and tells them they are destroying them. Paul reminds them that these weaker brothers and sisters, whom they so easily dismiss and devalue, are precious saints for whom Christ died. They are precious to our Savior, and they are part of the body of Christ. Their value is equal to these prideful people with their knowledge. Thus, their sin is not only against the weaker brothers and sisters, but also against Christ. This is sin, even if only because they are causing a stumbling block for others. Tomorrow we're going to see more about this issue of the actual meat and why this is important and what was really going on. But here's the thing that we need to understand that Paul is trying to get to us today. The conduct of these believers was guided not by love or consideration for others. The conduct of these people was prideful and arrogant and selfish. That's it. They had no clue what it meant to think of someone else before they thought of themselves. All they knew how to do was to attempt to take the knowledge they had, which they thought was full and complete spiritual knowledge, and then find ways to push their own rights based off of that knowledge. Knowledge was only for their benefit, not for the benefit of the body. Paul drives this home. Food isn't worth the conscience of a brother or sister. He, Paul, will never eat meat, not because the meat is necessarily the problem, if that will help the weaker brothers and sisters to grow. The principle here of setting aside your rights for the sake of others is one that we will see Paul address very clearly in the next few days, but this is still the underlying principle to apply here. We are part of the body of Christ. We are not living in isolation. The Bible has nothing to say to a lone ranger Christian who insists that they don't need the body and that the command to not neglect gathering together with believers isn't for them because somehow God didn't know how hard it would be for them to find a good church. Knowing that we are part of the body of Christ, we have a responsibility, and we need to quit arguing against that, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Ladies, we still do this today. We still are so concerned about our rights that we balk when we are asked to set those aside to benefit the body. Who are we thinking of at that moment? While this passage directly addresses food sacrificed to idols, the principle being explained here and in chapter 9 reaches much further. But for today, lest we get ahead of ourselves, here are my questions for us to ponder. How are we being puffed up by our own knowledge? How are we causing problems for others because of our knowledge? Our knowledge may be correct, but when it is implemented without love, it may be far worse than useless. It may be harmful to ourselves and others. There are myriad things I know, but if I put those things forth with a know-it-all, graceless attitude, I'm not honoring God, nor am I considering my brothers and sisters in Christ. Ladies, in what ways might you be considering your own rights above the consciences of others? This is an easy example, but it's still apt. Alcohol. In our Bible study that meets in my home every Sunday evening, we share a meal before we study the Bible. I could, at that moment, insist on my rights and grab a glass of wine to enjoy with my meal. Drinking alcohol is not a sin. However, because I know that we have newer believers in our group, and we may have people in our group who have struggled with alcohol abuse, I don't grab a glass of wine with my dinner. It's an easy thing to set aside. I have the right to drink it, but if my drinking wine injures another believer's conscience, then my wine glass isn't worth it. Period. What other examples can you think of from your life that may be ways in which your rights being exercised could harm another believer? How do you handle those situations? Is your response to insist that since it isn't a sin, they should just get over it? Or are you willing to restrict yourself for their benefit? How are you considering others in your knowledge? Remember, that one you may be sinning against is one for whom Christ died. They are precious to our Savior and should be precious to us as well as co-heirs of all the promises given to believers. Ladies, you'll find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab of the website naomistable.com, day 16, Inconsiderate Freedom.